We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
I'm very grateful for you being here tonight. Appreciate your faithfulness. And I know doing a conference three nights in a row is a stress and a strain on many of our schedules, and I appreciate your willingness to come and our orchestra and everybody being here. I'm thankful also for our guest speaker tonight, Ed Gibson. I was thinking about this. Known Ed and Bonnie. She's right over here. This is Bonnie. Can we welcome them? They're right over here. This is Bonnie. This is Ed on the front. They're not having a marital dispute. They're just sitting separate because he's fixing to speak. So I've known Ed about 18 years now, and first met him when we were pastoring in England. And, of course, many of you are familiar with Ed. He and his family were faithful missionaries, servants of the Lord, Okinawa, Japan, and was just an amazing connection that we made. And then, of course, when we moved here and we were able to reconnect, all of the great things that God has done down through the years in his ministry. And the Lord has used him in a great way. If you've never experienced Ed, you're about to, all right? And he really is a blessing. He's got his own unique way. And I want to thank him for his faithfulness. And Ed, I'm glad you're here. I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate your love for missions. Can you make him welcome as he comes tonight?
Well, I appreciate that. I'm going to stay down here if you don't mind. I just like it down here. I really do. And I don't like preaching down. And I like being on the level of the people. And I'd like for you to think, and I'd like for you to know, I'm just one of you. I'm more comfortable down here with you than I am separated from you up there. Now, that's my opinion, and that's my feeling. That's just a quirky thing with me. That doesn't mean the other preacher preached up there that, anyway, okay? So I want you to turn your Bible to Romans chapter 8. Doesn't have a thing to do with missions, but it has everything to do with missions. Because missions is not a separate chapter in the Bible. The whole Bible is missions. And if everything we do, if it doesn't result in everything we do and everything we believe, if it doesn't result in missions, we've missed some. So anyway, we're glad to be back down here. I don't know if you have really moved uptown since we were here. Boy, this is nice. This is really good. And, well, I don't know where that other building was, on down the road somewhere on the left, but I enjoyed going down there, but this is classy. Hey, from Kentucky, this is really good. I mean, I don't know who picked all this stuff out, but somebody was coordinated enough, and wasn't done by committee, I don't think. So the building's so nice, and everything looks so colored just right. It's just really pretty. And I'm grateful God blessed y'all. This really, really is good. And if y'all don't remember, I didn't come last year because our grandson died in September with a brain cancer. What this in his brain stem, no cure for it. And he lasted from about 10 months after they told us he had it. We found out on Thanksgiving Day. And anyway, he died last year in September, and I just wasn't up to preaching in October. I mean, this has been a long year, and getting on. It's a different world for us now, and a different life, and a lot of different memories, and a lot of good things, and a lot of sad things, but that's why we didn't come last year, and that kind of a life transformation for us. I believe God uses crisis in our life. I'll teach you a little bit here. You need to hear something every once in a while. But God uses crisis in our life, and my life has been broken up in different crises, and had a crisis when, different ones in your life. God really seems to specialize in crisis. Have you noticed that? And I believe they're given to us as a life-changing thing. Sometimes I wish God think I didn't need it, but we always have another one. And but that one was Stephen passing away. That big. If you've ever been there with a child or a grandchild, you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, coming out of that, I want to talk to you out of Romans chapter 8, and I'm gonna have to just really go through here in a hurry. Let's just read it and I'll talk to you, okay? We'll start in verse 18, Romans 8, 18. And we're going to skip it. I promise you, if I skip some verses, I'm doing it to save time. And I'm not taking anything out of context, and I'm not trying to pull the wool over your eyes. I'm not trying to get anything out of you tonight, okay? I'm trying to help you. I figure I got the best people in the church here tonight. Amen? Yeah, this is it. This is the thing that makes it go. And so I want to encourage you that make it go. I like the group is up here playing. That's good. Young people and just different. It's just, I like the music. It's good. And I appreciate y'all coming here on Tuesday night and serving God and being here to listen to me. I don't know if I'd come to listen to me or not. With the baseball going on like it is right now, it's kind of tempting. I started staying home myself. But anyway, my team already got beat, so I don't really rip right now. Romans 8:18. I want you to see this. For the suffering, I reckon. And reckon in the Bible doesn't mean what it does in Kentucky. Reckon in Kentucky is, well, I figure might as well. And count on it, or maybe. Reckon means it's an accountant's term. It means just add it up, count on it. Just count on this. The suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I'll talk to you for a few minutes about suffering, and then I'll go through these other verses. Suffering is something that everybody knows, okay? But one of the first things I learned when I started studying on suffering, when they told us that Stephen wasn't going to make it, well, for some reason, and Brother Messer sent us a good book and wrote a nice note in it when Stephen first got sick, and a book on suffering. Well, I just went through the thing, man. I've been through the book. And one of the things that helped me right off, and I want you to hear this, I think it'll help you in your life. Suffering and death are not a part of God's original plan for us. The way God planned it and gave God would made it with no suffering and no death. There's no suffering and there's no death in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And there's no suffering and there's no death in the last two chapters of the Bible. Suffering and death is introduced to us in Genesis chapter 3 by Satan and sin. So where our suffering comes from. Now, I really believe we need to be careful blaming God for all our problems. Our suffering and our sicknesses and our death didn't originate with God. Satan. He's the one that brought that into us. And we inherit it through our sinful nature. It's just part of being a sinner. I could talk for a long time. And what are y'all doing Thursday night? I'll come back. We just need to be careful blaming God for all our problems. You know, I've thought about this a good bit, and I've been preaching for over 50 years now, and it's common to find people, and I understand this. I really understand this. It could be another sermon. It's common for people to be angry at God. Now, if you've never been angry with God, you're not honest, or you hadn't lived very long. We just get disappointed. Things just don't work the way we thought they could work. And that's another sermon I preached to the students last week on someday in your life you're going to come to the point where you feel like you've been betrayed by God. And you have to work through that or you'll never go any further with God. You have to get beyond that point of feeling betrayed. But it's nothing uncommon. If we'd be honest in church, we could have revival. If church is the fakiest place in town. You know, come in, everything's wonderful, and we're all, but anyway, if we'd be honest, we could get a long way here, but there are always people in our churches that are really a little bent out of shape with God. We think we deserve better, we deserve more, and God just didn't come through. That's common in churches, okay? Also, it's another thing in churches to find people that are mad at God. Another thing that's common is people mad at themselves. I just blew it, man. I just made a big mistake, man. I could have been a multimillionaire if I'd invested that $10 back in 1950. Well, you were doing good if you had $10 in 1950. But anyway, you know, we all look back at life and we just, a lot of people are angry. I can't believe how many angry people in the world. I'd hate to live with them. Thank you, Bonnie. Angry people. Angry people in church. You know, if you're mad at yourself, that doesn't do you any good. But you know what? I've never found out too many people. Now, when I say this, somebody raise their hand. But you don't find anybody running around mad at the devil. Well, he's the one who started this whole mess. But we blame God every time. God, why'd this happen? What'd you take my loved one for? God, what'd you do this to me? And we somehow, just almost every problem comes up, ultimately, we'll blame God for it. This is further than I meant to go here. But seriously, we need to get over that. God is not against us. And our problem not coming from God. Our problem comes from our sinful nature that came from the devil. And we need to learn who we're dealing with. And we ought to have a be mad at devil day. Oh, let's go. And I'm going to have to skip some now. Verse 19, 20, and 21. 22, that's all talking about, listen to me, we're all frustrated, okay? We all got problems. We all suffer. Well, just to make you feel better, the whole earth feels just like we do. That's what those three or four verses are talking about, the whole creation, moaning and groaning because of the curse put on this earth by sin in Genesis chapter 3 that messed us up. It also messed up the earth. It messed up the beast. It messed up the ocean. Messed up animals. That's the reason the animals bite and fight and kill one another. Amen. You're doing pretty good tonight. Just keep on going. That's another reason I preach from down here. I got amen every once in a while. You haven't heard much like this, have you? But anyhow, where was I, Bonnie? Great day. Where was I? The whole creation is moaning and groaning, really. It's not just us. This earth is not happy. You know what the earth is wanting? You know what the birds are singing about? You know what the animals are barking about? For Jesus to come back. Lift this curse off of us. During the 1,000-year reign of Christ, when the curse is lifted, you can have a lion for a pet. You can have a tiger by the tail. That's an old commercial. And, seriously. You can have a wild animal for a pet during the millennial reign of Christ because there won't be any curse on us. So it's not just us that's struggling. Don't you ever get to, well, I must be the only one. No, you're not the only one. All of us are, and the earth is too, okay? But I want to show you some good stuff here now. Verse 23. For not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. Now, it's us. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We're waiting on this too. Now, I want to show you something real quick that I hopefully will help you and encourage you. When you, have you ever hurt so bad in your soul that you don't know even how to tell God? I mean, if God would open up heaven, so we'll say it. Dummy, I'll do it. I wouldn't know what to say. We've all been there. Well, when you get to the point where you don't know what to say, remember you have the Holy Spirit within you that's praying for you with groanings which cannot be uttered. When we can't mouth it out and we can't say it, remember, you have the Holy Spirit inside you praying for you. I want to show you something else. Now, I'd like to go up here a little bit for this one. Up in heaven. Now, on the earth, you got the Holy Spirit in you. Okay. Let's read a little here in the Bible. Verse 26. I skipped a couple verses just for time. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Now who is it that searches the heart and knows the mind of the Spirit? Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Let me explain to you how I believe this. You have the Holy Spirit down here on the earth. He's in you and he's praying for you when you don't know how to pray. Up in heaven, now in the King James Bible, it says we have an advocate with the Father. The Japanese Bible, which I'm just telling you what it says, the Japanese Bible says we have a bengoshi. Now, bengoshi in Japanese is a lawyer. That's an advocate. We have a lawyer in heaven. He's never lost a case. See, this suffering, bad time we're having down here, not so bad when you think about who your lawyer is. Amen? You ever feel like you need a lawyer? You got one. And you know what he's doing? He's looking out of heaven listening to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's right here with us, so he knows exactly where we are and what we need. And the Holy Spirit's making these groanings and moanings, and we can't understand it all. But Jesus in heaven, he gets it, and he understands what the mind of the Spirit is. And you know what he does? He turns to the Father and talks to us. Now, you think about this. You've got a lawyer in heaven that's never lost a case, and the judge on the stand up there is our Father. Why should we be discouraged? Why should we be defeated? You still think you got a bad deal? The devil has given you a bad deal. But God's not against you. God is for you. Now watch the beauty of this thing right here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, I've got to talk to you about that verse. Now, I'm a Bible believer. I believe that verse. I believe everything it says and all that kind of thing. All I do. But I'm here to tell you, when your grandson dies, don't come up and say, well, remember, everything worked together for good to those who love the Lord. You'd be good if you escape with your teeth. That's not a good verse to tell somebody when they're hurting. When they've had a death in the family, they've had a tragedy, and you, Mr. Spiritual, run up and say, well, just remember, everything works together for good to those who love the Lord. You idiot. You didn't lose your loved one. Your house didn't just burn down. You're sitting over in a good house with everything, and I've lost everything, and you're telling me this is for my good? Be careful of that verse. It can get you in trouble. That's not a scriptural spirit for you to go around telling people. Just remember that's good for you. That's not the good use of that verse, okay? Now, I believe that verse. Now, I want to show y'all some things, and I'm going to hurry it up and quit. I can do that. I want you to see this verse 29 and 30 and 31 and whatever. Watch verse 29. This is stuff Baptists don't like to talk about, but you have to talk about it. It's in the book. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Don't ever worry about predestination. It's a good, good doctrine. The word predestination only four times in the New Testament, and all four times has to deal with the security of the believer. God is predetermined, and if you're a believer, you're going to heaven, but that's not this sermon, okay? Verse 29, to the image of his son, he might be firstborn among many brethren. Now watch this verse 30 and 31. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. C-A-L-L-E-D. Past tense, you got it? And whom he called, he also justified. Past tense, got it? Past tense, already done. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Past tense. You know, according to the eyes of God, you're already glorified in heaven. That's too much for a Baptist, but it's in the book. See, we'd rather worry than have a good time. We'd rather mumble and grumble how we got a bad deal. We'd rather moan and groan because we lost our grandson. We'd rather moan and groan because of this and that. And you know, we go around poor mouths all the time because of how God has let us down. Wait a minute. We need to be, what you said up here was real good when you were at the end of that and you were praying. And for us to, we need to get, today's Christian, we need a better view of God. We got a shallow, we act like God's some kind of glorified Santa Claus, and every day we give him a honey-do list. And all God exists for is to take care of me and do what I want done, and if he doesn't do what I want done, well, he just goes down on the stock market. He ain't worth what I thought he was. That's not a Bible view of God. Quit acting like you don't. Quit giving God your honey-do list every day. Quit acting like God is Santa Claus just sitting up there waiting on you to send up a list of what you want. That's not what God's all about. Oh, that's another subject. I didn't bring it tonight. Can I show y'all something? I'm going to teach y'all a little Gibson theology. You've been through this class. And in Romans chapter 1, I'll show y'all something. In Romans chapter 1, you have what I call the doctrine of condemnation. Just read chapter 1, 2, and 3. You're condemned, buddy. Everybody's condemned. Chapter 4 and 5, and here you have the doctrine of 3 and 4, you have the doctrine of justification. Just read Romans 3 and 4, justification. Then you come into Romans chapter 5 and 6, and you got the doctrine of sanctification. Now you come into Romans chapter 8, and we're already glorified. So in 8 chapters, we go from condemned to glorified. And I want to tell you something. All of that was all the work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and none of it was us. For you to go from condemned to glorified is all done by the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's not you doing the best you can. I'm going to try harder this year. Grit my teeth and hang on. I'm going to be a better Christian. Oh, forget it and relax and quit making a bunch of promises. Just enjoy God. This, our salvation is His work. Now, we go from condemnation to glorification in just these chapters. It's all the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, back to this verse. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and call according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. Now, can I give you the Gibson version? And if this insults you or offends you, don't worry about it. I'm politically correct. I'm not going to offend anybody. You can't preach 5 minutes without offending somebody. And anyhow, listen to me, please. It's what I believe. It's what I believe, okay? Now, seriously, I think you don't need to tell people who've had a tragedy. Romans 8:28 works together for you good. But I tell you, because I cannot tell you that if you have a flat tire tonight on the way home and we drive by, we'll wave at you and say, well, God bless you, we're praying for you. Remember, that's working together for your good. You know, fender benders on the way home. Well, that's what working. I don't think that's good Christianity. I cannot honestly stand up here. And I can't. Now, somebody else might could, but I cannot stand up here. Now, Brother Messer would argue with me, and he'd have a way around it. But I cannot honestly stand up here and say everything that happens to you is for your good. It's good for you to have cancer. I can't say that. I can't say that every little quirky thing that happens in your life is for your good. Now, ultimately, God can use it all for your good, and in eternity we'll figure it all out. I understand all of that. But I'll tell you one thing. When you're going through life, and life really falls apart, and life really hurts, I tell you one thing you can depend on. that is working together for your good. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That one that took you from condemnation to glorification, you can mark it down on the darkest day of your life at your grandson's funeral. You can say, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all working together for my good. And I believe that's what that's teaching right here when he's talking about the ministry of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It's all brought in here, and I believe that's what it's all about. And I want you to know that on your worst day, I don't know how it's all going to work out for you, and I can't say, well, that's good for you, but I can tell you one thing. I promise you, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they're for you, and they're not ever going to hurt you, and they're not ever going to let you down. Woo! Woo! Better than the World Series. Now, wait a minute. I love the Bible. What's the next question? What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all working together for our good, well, who in the world's left to be against us? Woo! Now, we could go ahead and read the rest of the chapter, and it's just nothing but the promises, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But I want to close here. I want to challenge you. You say, what's this have to do with missions? Now, here's where my heart is. Everybody here probably believed everything I said to that. You might not have heard some of it before, but you didn't have any problem with what I preached. And what you heard about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that really makes you feel better, and that's good for you. And that's what I wanted it to do. But if this Bible teaching does not result in our life being transformed and us being involved in ministry in the community and around the world, then there's something wrong with our Christianity. It's not all about us. Well, teach me this good stuff so I can feel better. No, we learn this good stuff so we can be motivated. This is motivation tonight. This is motivation to get involved here. Man, we got a good thing going here. We got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working for us. My soul, how can we lose? Let's go get them. We're not going to lose. You know as well as I do. We've read the last chapter. We know who's going to win. Ooh, that's good. Ooh, it's good. Since Stephen passed away, I've gotten more excited about heaven. Tell y'all one thing, doesn't have anything to do with anything here tonight, but I'm going to tell you anyhow, because I'm going to quit at 7:30. He said I could do that. You know what I've learned? Now, I don't know. I can't prove this with the Bible, but I believe it. And the guy that I read it after, he said he couldn't prove it, he believed it. Because we don't know much about heaven, and we never talk about heaven. Plan on spending eternity there, but we never talk about it. We never Google it. If you're going to Disney World, you'll Google that. But you're going to heaven, you never Google it. We don't ever study about it. We don't ever talk about it. So we don't know a whole lot about heaven. Well, what about the 1,000-year reign of Christ? That's coming next. That's coming before heaven. I mean, in what I believe in the things to come, the rapture and the tribulation period, the millennial reign of Christ. But you know what this guy said, and this is what I now believe, got me so excited about the millennial reign. He says he believes that when Jesus comes back, what age are people in heaven? We're all going to be the same age? Nah. This guy says he believes everybody will be their best in heaven. Whatever age was your best. I don't know what age that'd be. But we're not all going to be a bunch of bent over senior citizens. Good. So, dying old doesn't mean you're going to be old in heaven. But anyway, you know what he says? He thinks when Jesus comes back, our grandson Stephen will be there in the millennial reign as a seven-year-old. And we, along with Stephen's parents, Philip and Jody, will get to raise Stephen and see him grow up. I kind of like that. He said, God never takes anything away from you that he doesn't give back to you better. And the one thing that we lost was seeing Stephen grow up. I really wanted to see him as an you know, I'm 74, so I didn't want to stretch it out too far. But I was hoping to see him graduate from high school. I wanted to see Stephen as a teenager. I really wanted to see that. And I was expecting to see that, you know. My soul, you don't expect a six-year-old to die. And I was expecting that. Well, now I believe I'm going to get to see it. God never takes anything from you that he doesn't give back to you better than when you gave it to him. I'm here to tell you we have a good God. He's working together for our good, and it's all going on. And I'm here to tell you we ought to be a highly motivated crowd when we go out of here to tell our friends and neighbors and people, anybody we can, about Jesus Christ and what he can do for them. It's not what we can do for them, but it's what he can do.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.